All right, today is December 28th, and in the church world, some people call December 28th official youth pastor sermon Sunday, because for some reason, every church, the lead pastor doesn't preach the final week of the year. They toss it over to the youth director, and we're going to do the same thing here at Revolution. This is Carrie. She is our youth director. If you're a teen in here and you haven't been to youth group yet, you need to get there on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights are great. There's 50, 60 teens in here. It's just an amazing time. You got to get to that. But Carrie's going to give us the message today. I've checked it out. She's going to be doing great. I've read the whole thing. It's a really good message. Her daughter's in the front row, so they're going to harass her the entire time. I'm totally sure about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pray for Carrie. She's going to do this. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you speak through Carrie well, that she has the right words and presence, and that you most of all give us the heart and the ears to know this truth and to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Carrie today.
Thank you. He says he read through it. It's actually an adaptation of one of his sermons, so that's why he's like, it's great. It's because I'm kind of stealing parts of it from him, so that's why that part is. But no, I'm really glad to be here. It's that weird time in between Christmas and New Year's where you don't know what day it is. Kind of just, did I even change my clothes today? That kind of feeling. Are you with me? Did you guys have a good Christmas? Yeah? Okay. Cool. I get kind of sentimental this time of year. I start looking back at everything that happened this last year for my family, for myself. I'm like, did I grow? Did I do the things that I wanted to do? And this year, like, I was looking back, and like 2 weeks ago, we got to fly. Our entire family flew over to Phoenix because my daughter, Sadie, she graduated from college. And we got to go and celebrate her. We rented a house, and we got to celebrate her. And at the graduation, she's like walking across, and I'm like bawling. And it was, I was just so proud of what she had accomplished this year. And then I was kind of sad for myself because I haven't graduated college. And so I kind of was doing this like pros and cons list in my head. And I'm actually in college right now. I'm going to Bible college and I'm going to be done soon too. And so I'm just kind of thinking about everything that happened. And, you know, I was thinking about like how many books somebody had messaged last night asking like, what are some good books? And I was looking at how many books I read this year. And one of my friends read 50 books this year. I'm not that good. But I was just thinking about like all of these different things that we try to do better. And then at the end of the year, we're like setting goals, right? And sometimes I start thinking like, shouldn't the biggest goal I make this year, shouldn't that be to be a better Christian next year? To follow Christ closer next year? And sometimes like that's left asking like, what does it look like to follow Christ closely? Have you ever done this? Are you on track with me? Like, are you kind of emotionally trying to figure out where it is? Well, I found a litmus test for how we're following Christ, how we're doing with following Christ. And it's in 1 John. So John wrote this letter, and he gives this amazing thing that if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, and he's referring to Jesus, okay? So there's a simple truth here. If you're in the light, you're with Jesus, because he's the light. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship with his people. That's in chapter 1 of 1 John. And so today I want to look at this book of 1 John, and I want to see what else does it say? How can we have this fellowship? How can we do exactly what Christ wants us to do and to be in the light? And have you ever noticed that, like, you can't flip a switch to make darkness turn on? Like, darkness just, it's the absence of light. And so we're going to take a look today, and we're going to find out what our life would look like if we're with Christ in the light, and what it would look like if it's darkness away from Christ. Are you on track? Are we good? Okay, so we're going to read the second chapter of 1 John together. What we're going to do is we're going to read like 11 verses together, and then I'm going to break it down, give you a little bit of background, and we're going to try to pull what Christ is trying to tell us on how to live this next year close to Christ and walking in the light. So go ahead and grab your Bible. If you're going to use one that's underneath your chairs, it's actually on page 986. Or you can use your own Bible. If you've gotten to Revelation, you've gone too far, just take a left turn from there. It's just right at the end of the Bible. So we're going to start at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them." Okay, so that's the chunk that we're going to study today, okay? So John makes it very, very clear. He says, you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. And then he gives us some pieces that we're going to dig into. So I want to intro John himself first, because it's important that we know who John is. So John was one of the original disciples. He was an apostle of Jesus. He was his close friend. He followed him all through his ministry. He witnessed every single miracle. He was there when he was teaching about love and about forgiveness and about all of these things. And he was also there when Jesus was resurrected. So he has seen firsthand who Jesus is and that he is trying to convey a message to this church that he's writing a letter to. And so that part is, so John, he actually started this church. He was their pastor, and then he had gone away on a different mission. And so now he's writing a letter back to his church that he loves, okay? So there's two different groups of people hanging out inside that church. So they're all believers, but they're getting a little bit of bad theology in the mix. So there's this one group, and they were like, well, we have this secret knowledge that we've obtained, and you don't have it. And we know Christ better than you, and we are sinless. And everybody else is like, wait, you're sinless? I'm not sinless. Do I even know God then? Am I walking correctly? I don't know. And so they're starting to doubt their own beliefs, right? And then there's this other group over here, and they're saying, you know what? You don't have to be sinless. Christ already paid for all your sins. In fact, you can live the same way you were before you knew Christ because he already paid for it. So you don't have to do anything. They actually believed that Jesus didn't even have a body, and so the spirit and the body were separate, and so you could do whatever. It was like, hey, if you want to go to Vegas, no. So both of these theologies were very, very incorrect. And so John is writing a letter to these people that he loves so much, so that he can help correct all of the bad theology and to encourage the people who are doing it right, who are walking in the light, and give them the confidence that they are with Christ, okay? So these believers, they're asking, they're like, what do we believe? Who is Jesus? Are we doing it right? And so now we're going to start breaking it down, and we're going to go into verse by verse. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My dear children," he thinks they're his babies, "I write this to you so that you will not sin." Okay, so he doesn't want you to sin. So that's him combating that first lie of like, oh yeah, you don't have to change. You can live exactly the way you did before you knew Christ. He's like, I'm writing this so that you won't sin. Okay, then he keeps on going and he goes, but if anybody does sin, so that's him combating that other group. He's saying, but we're going to. There's no sinless. Okay, and actually, like you can hear it in his voice, you can write it down this way too. You can write down, we won't be sinless, but walking in the light should make us sin less. Okay, this is not going to happen, and this is not going to happen. I'm not going to be sinless, but I also should not live the way I used to live. So I'm not going to be sinless, but following Christ should make me sin less. You know what? Just say that one with me. We won't be sinless, but walking in the light should cause me to sin less. Okay, so this is what we're talking about today. We are going to learn how to walk in the light and to reflect Jesus and to live exactly the way he wants us to live in the light, and we're going to avoid that darkness. Okay? Let me get this next verse. So it says, we have an advocate. So right before that, he said, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Have you ever had an advocate? Like you get in a disagreement with somebody and then your other friend comes in and he's like, I'll go talk to them. I'll smooth things over. An advocate goes in front of you and like speaks on your behalf, right? And so that's what Jesus does for us. The next part says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So in their understanding, they have this Old Testament theology in their mind that every time they sin, an atonement must be made, a payment must be made. And so then Jesus comes and he lives this perfect life and he gives his life for ours. And so he's this full, righteous, sinless man who gave himself. And so verse 2, it says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this part here, not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. This part gets a little bit twisted sometimes. Some people in the world, they see this as an open invitation to do whatever they please. They think that every single person is going to heaven because Jesus paid it all for every single person. But that's not how it works. You have to have a response, a personal response, in order for it to count you in. Okay, so like my favorite day of the year is Jimmy John's free sandwich day. I know, I love carbs. Dude, I love carbs. So they do this every single year. They have a free sandwich day and they send a mailer out. They post it on Facebook. They make commercials. They're like, Jimmy John's free sandwich day. And every single person gets invited. But if they're not delivering to your house, they're not bringing you a sandwich just because it's free sandwich day. You don't get it unless you go to Jimmy John's, right? You got to stand in that line. It takes like an hour, but it's worth it. You have to respond in order to be included in that invitation. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Okay, so then the next part, it says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So you're like, what commands? Well, this is talking about everything that Jesus talked about throughout his ministry. So I pulled a couple out for us. So like Matthew 22 says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Matthew 22 also goes into saying, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is an old piece coming from the Old Testament. love your neighbor as yourself. And then he also says, you got to love your enemies. You have to forgive people. You have to be generous. All of these things, this is what Jesus commanded. So if we know him, we're going to follow these commands. If we are in the light like him, we are going to do these things. Okay, are you on track? And like, this isn't like I can never accidentally be mean. My family, we have this saying that you can't accidentally be mean when you're purposely being kind. That was not in the outline. That just like popped into my head. But what that thought process is like if I'm accidentally mean to somebody, that's not what this is talking about. John is addressing when we refuse to love the people around us, when we avoid stepping in for our brothers and sisters. That is what he's addressing here. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is what we have to do in order for us to be in the light. So we got to make sure that we understand this is what happens after we know Christ. This isn't how we get to Christ. This is a result of already knowing him. Just like verse 5 said, we'll know that we know, or verse 3 says, we'll know that we know him because we keep his commands. We can remember it this way. We either learn to love like Jesus or we're in the darkness. We either do the things that he has commanded and we live in the light, or we know that we're in the darkness. We have that litmus test. Verse 4 goes on and it says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. Sorry. Whoever says, I know him, but does not love is a liar. Now that's kind of harsh, right? Just like light and darkness are complete opposites, love and hate are complete opposites, this is telling us something incredibly harsh. If we do not respond in love to our brother and sister, we will have the opposite of being with God. We're going to have separation from God. And that is not where we want to be. The truth is not in that person. Verse 5 says, but if anybody obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them, okay? So not only are other people going to get the benefit of you obeying God's commands because they're going to feel loved and supported and stepped in and cared for, but you're going to get something too. John tells you, he says, love for God is truly made complete in them. You're going to have God's love like just flowing out of you, and it's going to give you peace, and it's going to give you this everlasting joy that you can't get anywhere else. Like, I checked Walmart, it's not there. So you get this overwhelming completeness of God's love when you obey his commands. There's another part of this same book, verse in the fourth or fifth chapter, it talks about how we will keep his commands and they're not burdensome. This is what it's talking about. Like when we love God and we follow God and we walk in the light, it doesn't feel like work. But I do want to be real with you right now, right? Because loving people does take work. It's hard. Like you just survived Christmas, right? How stressful was that? We had like 8 or 9 people in our house and they were like sitting on top of each other, and the little people, they get kind of loud and it's stressful, right? I'll tell you, almost any day, I am the most patient person every day until my kids wake up. It's true. I am the most generous person with my time, with my money, until somebody takes advantage of it. This is real life problems, right? loving people, being in fellowship with each other, it's hard. It wears on us. It feels like we're just giving so much. But this isn't an optional add-on that Jesus is like, you know what'll be really cool is if you're also like really nice to your people around you. He doesn't say that. He says, love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. He commands us to respond with love. And so that's going to take some work. When we talk a lot here about healthy Christian community, you heard them talk all about the growth groups that we have going on. They start today. It is a ploy. I'm trying to get you into a growth group. You're right. But it's true. Like, if you want to live in the light, you have to be in the fellowship that we offer here. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to have the chance to experience God's love. It's how you're going to give it to somebody else too, is we have to be in fellowship together here. Loving people isn't always easy, but Jesus commands it, and we have an amazing community here. So you got to get into a growth group, and you got to let those walls down. You gotta like let people love you. I heard every introvert just freak out. Like, yes, you do have to let your walls down. You have to be vulnerable. How we respond to the people in our church is that litmus test. Are we in the light? Are we loving people? Or are we in the darkness? God is the light. There is no darkness in him. And so we have to walk in the light. The next verse says, this is how whoever claims to live in him is going to live as Jesus did. Okay? So not only are we going to know those commands, we're going to live them out. We're going to live them out every single day. The next verse, 7, says, my dear friends, I am writing you a new command. I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. So they're referring to, like, you've already heard this. This is not new. This old command is the message you have heard. You've heard it time and time again. And then it goes on to verse 8, and it says, yet I'm writing you a new command. John, make up your mind. Is it old or is it new? Like, I'm confused now. But this is referring to in the Old Testament, and you'll hear people say this almost all the time. They'll be like, well, the Old Testament is just a bunch of rules. And now that we have Jesus, we don't have to really like put any solace in that. We don't really need to have any of that. And here at Revolution, we would tell those people, you're wrong. You're very wrong. But instead, we read the Old Testament in light of Jesus and his ministry, correct? So it's old, but it's also new because we have this new outlook because Jesus showed us how. In fact, in John 13, 34, Jesus himself says, love one another as I loved you. So he's not saying love your neighbor as yourself anymore. He's like, you know what? Even you loving your neighbor as yourself is a little bit selfish. Like, I want you to love people like I loved you. So he raises that bar. He tells us, I want you to look exactly like me. Have any of you guys seen the Newport baby? It looks just like his dad. Just like him. And he did nothing to do that. Like, yeah. But when we look like Jesus, when we love Jesus, we're going to start looking like him. We're going to start acting like him and doing what he does. And that darkness isn't going to be seen in us. The next verse says, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. This is referring to the struggle in today's world of evil versus good, right? We know that Satan is here. He has the right to mess with us right now. But the darkness is passing. We already know who wins. The true light is already shining. MacArthur, he wrote in his commentary, he said that this piece is like there's currently, they get to coexist, but evil has a time limit, and it's going to go away, and then Jesus is going to reign forever. I love the way he said it. So, John goes back to his main point in verse 9, and he says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. So just as the absence of light is darkness, the absence of love is hate, okay? And you can write it down. If I claim to be in the light, but I hate a fellow Christian, I am still in the darkness. I can't say that I'm safe and that I know Jesus if I am refusing to love people. If I am hating people, I'm still in the darkness. What does it look like to hate somebody? A lot of people make excuses about this too. They're like, well, they're just not my cup of tea. I don't hate them. I just don't go around them. I just ignore them, right? Or like, well, no, I don't hate them. I just don't go out of my way to help them. That's hate. If the absence of love is hate, then you refusing to love on someone just because they smell funny, that's hate. You don't smell funny, I promise. It's not you that I was talking about. But Paul gives us some examples. He says, this is what love looks like. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. I can have all the power in the world. I can have all the wisdom in the world. I can know exactly what to tell you. But if I do it without love, do you want to have that connection with me? Do you want me around telling you what the Bible says? No. That's so loud, huh? Yeah. Like sometimes I forget what I'm actually saying because it was so loud. But that's what Paul says it looks like. If we are doing actions that are empty and without love, that's just self-serving, and it sounds like a gong, and it's annoying and unwelcome, right? But Paul actually goes right into, after that verse, he goes into this part, and he says, you know what love is? It's patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's what walking in the light looks like. You're not keeping track. You're being patient. And you're reflecting who Jesus is by walking in his light. So what do we do with this? Oh, wait, did I finish that last verse? I don't think I did. So 1 John 2:10, it says, anyone who loves their sister or their brother or sister is in the light, and there is nothing to make them stumble. So you can have confidence. That was John like putting a little tidbit in there saying, you know what? If you're doing this, you can be confident that you are on the right track, right? Because they were struggling with their confidence. They had these people saying in their ears, you're not doing it right. You're not sinless. But John put that little tidbit in there. He was like, if you're walking in the light, if you're loving your brother and sister, you can have confidence that you are in the light and you're not going to stumble. And you're also not going to make anybody else stumble. And then the last verse, it says, but if anyone who hates a brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in the darkness, they do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Don't be this dude. Don't be so oblivious to not know where you are going and if you're walking in the light or the darkness. You know, we have the end of the year upon us, and we're getting ready to like start a new year and get good goals and all these things. And you can use this as a litmus test to know if you're walking in the light or the dark. Don't be blinded. Don't be walking around oblivious, refusing to love the people in your church, refusing to love the people around you, because that is walking in the darkness, and you don't want to be that. It gets super dark. I am scared of the dark. So what do we do with all of this? Well, I have three ideas that we can put into place this week. The first one is I want you to study the entire book of 1 John this week. It's only 5 chapters. It's not scary, but it has so many different nuggets of good stuff. Like, he who is in the world is not of me, but he who loves me will not be in the world. And oh, there's so many different good verses in 1 John. So read the whole book. What I do when I'm studying a book is I will read the entire book every single morning, and I'll highlight something different each time. So like tomorrow morning, read the entire book of 1 John and highlight every time it says, be in the light, okay? Did you write that down already? Studying 1 John will give me confidence, because it will. It's that piece of confidence that you are walking in the light. Or if you're still walking in the darkness, it's gonna highlight it real quick for you. The second thing that you can do is, I will prepare in advance to respond when blank happens. I left that one blank for a reason. You write down what just popped into your head, unless they're sitting right next to you. Don't write that. But you know exactly what is hard for you to respond with love, right? You know when your kid punches that button just so, and you're like, I'm not going to respond with love this time. Write it down and make that pre-decision to respond with love. Jeff just talked about that last week, right? Having the default responses. We want to have default responses so we can respond with love every single time. And the third thing, you know I'm going to say this one, right? I'm going to join a growth group. But there's a caveat. Read it. And I will show up for the first 3 weeks without excuses. Oh, I have a headache. It was a really long day. That one guy is in this group, and I don't know if I want to hear him talk this week. Don't make excuses, but go to growth group. They can't contact you if you don't like that group, but you can commit to yourself to try a growth group for the first 3 weeks. You can. And it's going to change the way that you feel about the community here. It's so good. And you hear them say it all the time. They say, we have a group for everybody. We have a group for teens. We have a group for humans who own teens. And it's kind of scary in that time, right? And we have a group for people who like crafts. And we have nerd groups. And we have all the things. But even if we don't have a growth group complete with your niche, that doesn't give you an out. We have 20 some odd groups that are just normal people trying to follow Christ, just like you. So you get to be in those. I don't know why my boss is laughing at that part. Because I said that we only have 20 with normal people. I said that. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. The short version is, we know the litmus test. We know what we want for this next year. We want to go and we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so we're going to do that. You're going to go out here for this week, for this next year. You are going to walk in the light. You are going to do what Jesus tells you. You're going to respond with love to the people around you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we just pray that you show us exactly where we are. If we are in the darkness, let us be known and pull us into the light with you. God, we want to reflect you in everything we do. We want to love the people that you've placed around us. We want to have a healthy Christian community. God, keep us and just protect us this year as we walk closer and closer to you and we stay in the light. In your son's name, amen.